We're back. All right. Everybody here? Am I in the right place? Okay, Carol.
I'm here.
Everybody's here? Carol, could you tell me what was discussed just quickly?
No.
Don't tell me. Okay.
But there was some nice talk about Renew and how people are amazed that there aren't more testimonials about Renew.
Mm.
That'd be cool to talk about.
Yeah, Bob, you should hear the break session. It's fantastic, the conversation.
Well, I'm used to fantastic, Brian. I can give up a bit every now and then.
Iron won't let me listen to the music today, Bob. My tuner will not work, so Iron has decided that I have to listen to the Brian show during the break.
That's good. No, I agree. We should. I wonder if it can be broadcast. But, you know, I guess it can. Anyway. Okay, I want to bring another element in. I found another really great quote way back there in 2009. It's just incredible. Ion says this statement. Carol and I don't know what's been said, and then I happen to rehear it, you know, 4 years later, 3.5 years later, and it's just amazing. So here, listen to what, this is, you know, a year before Iron A drops, 6 months before the cancer treatment, Ion says, we must have been talking about 3-2-1-ing. Because I think we knew by then, this is, you know, the cash flow is just starting. We're just starting to be on cash flow. Here's what Ion says. RNA is redefining. Okay, someone's making noise. You're mute or something. They're slipping and sliding. Okay. RNA is redefining. This is my transcription. In brackets, wanting it. And the DNA is threeing it. And, you know, I am saying this about RNA and DNA before we're even thinking about the RNA and DNA, you know, 6-8 months before. And he says, and that's the distance between you and you. In other words, the distance between you and you is the distance between RNA and DNA, I think is what he's saying. And then he says in brackets, I got a brackets quote, it's in the blueprint, beyond the cellular, that human creators decide to write down in a two-dimensional form to give every calculatable chromosomal tag-teamed inference to explain looking for a reason. I'll read that again and just run through it once. Then he says, when your grandparents and parents die of too much sugar, the pancreas just can't take all this DNA, it's what you use as your evidentiary precept of reality, as a result of too much sugar, the RNA responds, the RNA responds to the word. The DNA maps out of what your reality is. They have two different functions. And if you get crossways, the distance between you and you, then you too can get sugar just like everybody else did. Then Ion says, this signifies nothing, but it's how you validate why you like sugar. Then he says, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost on the subcellular level is the DNA, the non-physical, and the RNA of the cell, which the cell would be being. So, isn't that pretty incredible? I'm going to read it again. You've heard enough to know it's pretty incredible, right?
Oh, yeah. That's fabulous. I was going to say that, you're talking, he's saying these things way before the drops, and I was going to ask Wendy, because, you know, she's just started the revelations, if she'd been going through the archives, because that was what I noticed once I got to Revelations. When you did Revelations, I'm thinking, man, from day one, when he's on cash flow, he had been talking Revelations all along, but I never knew it until I actually heard the series, and I'm like, wow, this is pretty amazing, because he was consistent, he's been laying it out all along, but it was just never put together totally until you did the Revelation series.
Yeah, like, for example, vampires came up. So one cash flow I just did, a lark, I said, how many vampires in L.A.? And he says 250,000. And he gives a reality to it, and he goes into it. Well, we find out, 6 months later when we're doing the Revelation, that there's a whole section on the vampire in Revelation. So basically the Revelation series sums up a year and a half, 2 years of information that I was giving in all different avenues of public broadcasting. It sums it up. And right after that is when we start getting the drops. We go to phase two. So the revelation sums up, and it's the capper, it's the exam to see how much you've noticed of what you've heard in all the archives. that's why in the end you got to go through the revelation to see what you probably didn't get.
Yeah.
Amen? Do I get an amen?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen, amen. Amen, brother.
Hey, woman. Hey, woman.
I like that.
Hey, women.
Yay.
I'm going to read it again. He's overlaying 3 and 2 and 1-ing it. And the RNA to DNA is a metaphor. The RNA responds to the word. That's pretty amazing. The DNA responds to the language, maps out of what your reality is. And then you get caught between them. That's the distance between you and you. And then sugar gets involved. So, and he says something about you get too much sugar. And he says if you get all screwed up, then you'll get sugar just like everybody else did. And he says, but this is how you validate why you like sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that sweetness be a pain solvent? You know, you got pain in your life, so you eat a lot of ice cream, drink, and that sugar. You know,
yeah. If you don't have sweetness in your life, you replace it with sugar.
And RNA drops brings in a new kind of super sugar, which is not a sweetness factor. It satisfies what your sweetness is looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Your sweetness desire.
That's exactly what Wendy was saying and Lynn was saying, and I've noticed it too. I used to just tear up Dairy Queen and eat candy bars and snack cakes and, I mean, relentlessly. And once I got on the drops, it's like I can walk into Dairy Queen and not even order nothing. I can go through a candy store and not even have any desire. Whereas before, there's no way I could go through any of those and not engage, you know, handfuls of it.
Yeah, and I want to have it on the record, since when people go through the archives, they'll hear a lot of joking about me and the Snicker bar. And back then, yes, I was eating Snicker bars. I haven't had a Snicker bar in general for about a year. I don't eat that stuff anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm agreeing with you. I've cut down on that. Now, what I do once every 2 weeks, since I know I can take anything, I'll go and eat 3 quarts of ice cream. Just for the hell of it, just to enjoy nostalgia for when I require the sweetness.
No, what he likes is shocking the...
Yeah, I do like to shock the
staff.
The staff. As they get fatter and fatter, they go, well, how come you're so skinny?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm eating all this stuff, and they can't believe it, that I'm skinny while eating what they can't eat, even though they're overweight. So I'm going to read it again with all those factors. RNA is redefining. That's the one part. You know, 3 is declaring, 2 is letting source energy get it done, and then 1-ing is, I got this, but I want to have it different. I'm going to redefine what I want and do it over again. Now that's the genetic code that Michael, our chiropractor, was talking about, Karen. That's the choice factor in your being, in your will or whatever. Your,
mm-hmm.
your choice factor is whether you're going to become addicted or not.
Which we know is chromosome 14.
Yeah, chromosome 14. So RNA is redefining, one-ing it, and the DNA is 3-ing it. And remember, he's going to say RNA responds to the word. And he says, and that's the distance between you and you. It's in the blueprint, beyond the cellular. When he says beyond the cellular, he means smaller than that, the subatomic kind of thing. It goes into the constituents of the cell. It's in the blueprint. That means it's in the RNA and DNA. That human creators decide to write down in a two-dimensional form to give every calculatable chromosomal, he puts in the chromosomal there, tag-teamed inference. We need to give a visualization or something. Like, what is the two-dimensional, the RNA-DNA interaction? We created cells to make a two-dimensional map. So it's a metaphor for a deeper process between you and you, is the relationship between RNA and DNA. And it gives a calculatable chromosomal tag-teamed, that's RNA and DNA, I guess, inference to explain looking for a reason. In other words, you got a reason, but when you're going to explain why you're looking for a reason, I mean, if you take that literally, maybe Ian said to explain, which is another way of saying looking for a reason. So it's very important whether the apostrophe goes in there or not, or the comma, because we are trying to explain why we're looking for a reason, maybe. Could be one of the reasons, meanings. Then he says, when your grandparents and parents die of too much sugar, the pancreas just can't take all this DNA, so the sugar is somehow connected to the sugar DNA count. It's what you use as your evidentiary precept of reality. The RNA responds to the word, the DNA maps out of what your reality is. So I guess that's the mapping of the sugar requirement. And if you get crossways, the distance between you and you, then you too can get sugar just like everybody else did. So he's saying you get sugar when you get crossways.
Bob, the part about the pancreas, was that your commentary, or was that actually
That's Ion. I'll read it. It goes, this is Ion. When your grandparents and parents die of too much sugar, and then there's I put in brackets, and he says, the pancreas just can't take all this DNA, colon, it's what you use as your evidentiary precept of reality.
That statement where you say the pancreas can't take all of the DNA, that's very interesting. How the it's like you're consuming all the sugar, and then you're getting, I don't know what where all the
you're getting a mapping of it, because he says right after that, it's what you use, the DNA is used as your evidentiary precept of reality, a calibration of how much you have. Because it maps out what your reality is.
Yeah, but what you got to remember with RNA and DNA, that the backbone of RNA and DNA is from alternating sugar and phosphate molecules.
Right.
So sugar is the basis of RNA and DNA. That's why the super sugar is so effective in what the RNA drops are doing. And the sugars are called ribose. We've got ribonucleic acid and deoxyribonucleic acid. So the ribose is the sugar. So we're replacing, we haven't asked that question, have we, Bob? Are we replacing our selenose for the ribose in RNA and DNA?
Yeah, he says your parents and grandparents die of too much sugar, which is already the constituents of RNA and DNA, so they die of too much RNA.
Okay, so here's what's happening. We know on some level we want the 144,000, so we keep consuming sugar, make ourselves diabetic, trying to drive ourselves into the 144,000, but it's the wrong kind of sugar.
Yeah, you're using that sugar to make more RNA and DNA.
Yeah.
Now that, to me, that explains a lot, but that's profound to me, because I know the whole sugar thing my whole life, it's like, this whole craving, and I'd go crazy over anything sweet and sugary, and that statement right there just explains it all to me, what this whole thing of what I was going through, of why I was just totally,
It was your form of ayahuasca or spiritual hunger.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's the perfect explanation for why our whole civilization has become diabetic and obese, because we're desiring, craving sugar, but we've obliterated the good kind of sugar. We've never had access to it.
What is super sugar? If it's not sugar, Carolyn, can you say what it is?
It's C-122, H-197,
O-98. Well, does normal sugar have some C-H?
Of course. Glucose is, I think, C-6, H-11, O-6, something like that. I may be off one. But that's where we have the explanation about the carbon is being sucked in by our, to create our super sugars. We're sucking in 122 of them compared to just 6 of an ordinary glucose.
It's super sugar.
Yeah.
So the sugar we're craving or we're using is little man sugar. It's only adapted for one DNA strand.
Uh-huh.
It's smaller.
But Brian, you were going to say something. I interrupted.
No, I your statement of, I mean, to me, what I loved most about that statement was this consuming of large amounts of sugar was just my desire to activate the 144,000 when I didn't have a clue what was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he says the DNA. You're emphasizing the DNA in the stupid sugar.
Yeah.
Sort of. It says the pancreas can't take all this DNA, but the DNA is what you use as your evidentiary precept of where you're going. It's the mapping. So you're actually emphasizing the DNA too much. And then the RNA responds to your words. That's when you get activated the correct way.
Emphasizing the language over the word, Bob.
Yeah. Yeah, that's DNA. And then
yes.
When you start learning to talk, talk your walk, then you get your RNA going, and that's redefining or wanting it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas DNA is freeing it. DNA is the basic statement, but it's you state what you want. That's phase three, right? Part first step.
Mm-hmm.
You state it, but you're using tribal language and getting tribal sugar.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do it with the RNA as a factor in your 3-to-1-ing, then you bypass the 3-level of sugar. And
with RNA drops, you're saying?
No, I'm just saying, I'm saying the RNA in the body responds to the word.
Okay.
To the real power.
But you always have to say buy a chromosome 14. It won't happen without that.
And he says that. He says, this is what we do to map out. We need to map out because we need a reason. So we reduce it to a two-dimensional situation between RNA and DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, this is how we calculate chromosomal tag-teamed. That would be between RNA and DNA.
Yeah.
Inference. We're trying to infer a reason.
Yeah.
And so we use the 3-to-1-ing as part of the DNA-dominated thinking.
Right.
So it's a pretty tremendous quote to work with.
Mm-hmm. It's also
me going.
I like your correlation with the learning your word power, going from the tribal mortar trash, associating that with the simple sugars that you're creating that aren't getting you anywhere.
Right.
Like you said, all you're doing is overwhelming your pancreas, and you're gonna exit.
Yeah, and Finnegan's Wake uses the act of talking as a metaphor for eating. Eating and talking and all the activities are intermixed with talking. Tribal language, engaging in the social tribe, phatically babbling along, is like sipping on a Coke or a beer and babbling in 2D, two-dimensional, one-strand level.
I like that correlation. That's a good correlation. I like that. And then,
and then
your actual word power, your stone, is the RNA drops.
Right. And it activates the RNA, which is the thing that responds to the word. So the RNA drops is a potent form of the word power.
Yeah.
So
the RNA also activates the ability to relax and allow, because before the RNA, the body is in a state of craving, some sense of completion. The RNA drops come along, you get a sense of that completion in the physical body, which causes an automatic state of relaxation, and then one can experience. Yeah,
you get the sweetness, you have a good orgasm, you complete it. So he ends by saying the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost on the subcellular level is the DNA, the non-physical, and the RNA. Now, assuming I wrote down the right order, DNA is the Father, non-physical is the Son, and the Holy Ghost is RNA. And the Holy Ghost would be involved with communication. It's in the interval, and it's the more tactile part. It's between the Father and the Son. So, the Father's DNA, and the RNA is the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, and the Son is the non-physical. That may not be correct, but that's the way I got it written here. It's an interesting mapping.
I know when you read it the first time, it sounded spot on to me. I don't know if you actually read it.
Okay, here's the first time. Here's what I read the first time. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost on the subcellular level is the DNA, Father, the NP, Son, and the RNA, Holy Ghost, of the cell. And to relate to Father, Son, of being, the cell is a being, your being, and you have these parts, or these relationships. So the cell, the DNA, and non-physical and the RNA are a metaphor for being. Right? The cell is being, or that's how I put it in there. Who else is here? You're hearing this, Lynn, or are you gone?
I'm here.
I'm here. Oh, okay.
Catherine's here.
I'm still here. I'm Lynn. I'm still here. I just muted.
All right. And Wendy's here. Did anybody new come in?
Hey, Wendy.
What?
Nothing. Wendy. I just said, hey, Wendy. That was it.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
Okay, so we got Catherine, Wendy, Lynn, Carolyn, me, Brian, Michael. Anybody else? I think that's it. Okay, so we'll go into some messages here, bring in the audience. So, Michael in Princeton, New Jersey says, and he gives out his email, Michael Brown, I'll send it to you. He asks if you would like to talk about the presence process and the RNA drops, and he gives the phone number, so I'll send that to you. Okay, Michael?
Okay, Bob.
Yeah. And then Ravi says, Xanax, antidepressant. I've taken it before. It makes your thoughts and thinking blank. You can't think even if you tried to. Imagine trying that with a relax and allow technique. Well, that's what we're doing.
Without the Xanax.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to imagine it, Ravi. This is what we're talking about. You make your thoughts blank, but you can think. You can go into think gear. It's like drinking, eating sugar. You can go into thinking at a hyper clarity if you decide to put it on. It's like they're going for a run.
Doesn't Xanax like relax you and calm you down? Maybe from is that an anxiety drug or an antipsychotic drug?
What is it?
It's anti-anxiety. It's not an antidepressant, no.
So anti-anxiety means it relaxes you?
Right. And it's also, is it a benzo or is it not?
Ooh, a Preplan. It's probably a benzo. And that probably has fluoride in it. Yeah, it's a Preplan. It probably has fluoride in it, which kills magnesium.
Right. So, and then RNA drops help with chromosome 14, which is the deciding factor in addictions or maybe like physical health problems.
Okay.
As far as anxiety.
Gaston, the way you say that, the RNA drops help with chromosome 14. How would you change that, Carolyn? Chromosome 14 helps the RNA drops.
Yeah, they work through chromosome 14.
It's the thing that gets brought in to help. Say it the opposite way, Catherine. Chromosome 14 is the thing that decides which way you're going to go.
Yeah, so the RNA drops, they're working on your ribonucleic acid with the help of chromosome 14 directing you to create a new type of DNA. The perfected DNA.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Okay. Wow. All right. And that's where the snippers and the pinchers and all of that comes into play, right?
we still haven't figured out.
No, we did count. Listen, the snipping is another word for connecting, where the arms of the chromosome 14 that are enclosed in a circle, they open up, get new information, or determine what the new information is going to do, and then closes. And that closing is the creation of a new cell. Like that's the snipping or the connecting.
Okay.
So, I will make you go in more complex. And so you try to get the basic first, and then watch Ion improvise on it.
Right. And I think in response to that guy's message that probably over time, at least I know for me, things have calmed down a lot. Like, there's not as much. Yeah. I've been on him for a little while now. And I'm sure he is too. So that's cool. You know?
And they're calming you down.
Are you kidding? Yes. Oh my goodness. I used to be crazy raging lady and now I'm like, okay. I get upset once in a while. It's a miracle. It's a freaking miracle. I'm serious.
Now, once you get used to enjoying being laid back and okay,
right.
Once you've got that, you know how to do that, then you can get kind of bored with it, and then you put on getting revved up, but you do language and words as an art form. You become an actor with it and probe people with it. See, because you don't
want that.
You like the idea of that, don't you?
Yeah, and you know, I think that's what I was doing. I found myself super exhausted at the airport like a month ago, and that's kind of what I was doing, just like playing with people with words. You know what I mean?
Because you were exhausted?
I don't know. It seemed really very draining, but
what seemed very draining? The airport?
No, the interaction with all the people.
Oh, okay.
You know?
So you started to rev it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is tiring, okay.
Well, that's not, anyway. You're acting like a flake. That's not creativity. Be aggressive. Be subtly, aesthetically aggressive. Like when I arrived in Vancouver, Chad and Angela, the first thing I did was go get my foreign exchange. And I started talking up, chatting up the girl, and I was saying ridiculous things to her that wouldn't be too far off. I didn't want to seem insane, but I engaged a conversation with her, which you would never have with anybody.
Yeah.
I asked her, do you think this money really goes anywhere? Do you think it can last? Do you think this paper money will survive? I don't know, something like that. I don't even know.
Right.
That's the way you creatively, you actually energize them because they're just sitting there with boring routine and everybody's facing that routine. So you use your thinking to do that. You use your mind thoughts, not to make a conclusion, not to make a decision, just to enjoy playing with tribal language.
Engage, yeah.
Hey, Lynn, you know what I was telling you about that? Bob goes up to the receptionist and he's talking her up, right? Now, according to Bob, he says, all the things that I was saying weren't too far off. I assure you, they were fucking universes apart.
Yeah.
But Bob's word, it wasn't that far off.
What? I just remembered Chad sent me the links to the recordings. He videotaped me on his iPhone doing a lot of these things. And I sent them to Steve to be put up, and that's a week ago. I haven't heard back from him. But once they're put up, you'll be able to witness some of this stuff, if it's in your wanting. Is that the Evergreen phrase, Carolyn?
Yeah.
If it's in your wanting, which is like not.
I think Ion said it a few times, and we just yelled at him to quit it.
What, imitating Evergreens?
Or that it just sounded weird.
In your wanting, yes.
Yeah.
So here, look at Christo, who was having a good time. What did he say earlier? He was having good bowel movements while listening to us. He was loving the music, and now look what happens to him. He creates contrast. He says, I take back what I said about the great music. That opera crap makes me want to slice.
Slice.
Yeah, slice. He's going to kill somebody down there in Portland. But, I mean, come on. The opera is actually pretty neat. It's a good antidote to what you heard before the opera. Which was, I should say, we heard Dave Dudley doing Rolaids something in preparation. You ever heard that song, Brian, the truck driving song where he's really got a sore bum and all that?
Nope.
Dave Dudley, Rolaids, Dones, Pills, and Preparation H. That's his secret to his life. And then I played Eddie Cochran something else, I think it was, and Johnny Clark, None Shall Escape the Judgment, that was in there. And then the opera, which was a very strange name, Kibla Gersmava, doing Tatiana's Letter in some famous piece. I had to look it up. So then the Great Gazoo, I guess, is back, and he says, hey, Bob, is Ion a block rocker? Anybody know what a block rocker is?
Nope,
no.
But I'll look it up.
Have you on the Urban Dictionary, Carol? Look in the Urban Dictionary. Hey, Bob.
A battery-powered speaker system for iPod. Could be, yeah.
An Ion, yes, because he is Ion, which is...
iPod,
in every battery, is the Ion.
Yep, very good.
So, yes, the five meanings of Ion includes that meaning, the Great Gazoo. There's four other meanings that we... cobbled together in the early days. So here we are with 10, 11 minutes. I have something to play, but anybody got anything to say?
So what is a strategy if hope is not a strategy?
Relax and allow and follow whatever you enjoy. That's a strategy.
Leap of faith.
No leap of faith. You know, faith is defined by Ion as self-image. So you're going to leap your self-image? You leap over your self-image? Yeah, you could leap over it, not be controlled by it.
Yeah, get out of yourself. Yeah.
The problem with hope is...
And you do that by doing what you want to do right now.
Yeah. Well, the problem with hope is it causes you to leapfrog over the moment that you're in. And so one of the antidotes to that is to, instead of going to the hope place, is trying to in some way turn into what's happening now and appreciate that. Because it's out of that that everything else will grow, out of what's happening in the moment. So,
it's your experience.
Now, Lynn, is there anything that we're saying? How's hope apply to the Olympic training?
How does this hope thing apply to the Olympics?
Yeah, that's Olympic training. Does hope come into it? Does hope a...
You know, I remember distinctly my Lorraine's words to me when we were talking one time when I was training with her group and whatnot. And we got along. We did stuff outside of the training realm as well. And we'd sit there, and I remember at dinner time she said, you know, people who have trained for the Olympics, they don't have the mindset that they already are there. You know what I mean? They try to get to the trials, and yet even to make, they have this goal of just hoping that they get to the trials and not anything beyond that. So with that being said, absolutely, that what you're talking about, hope is just, it's like, what is it, the rabbit hole or whatever, the Alice in Wonderland, the rabbit hole, going down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
It's not going to stick anywhere, and it's the mindset, you know, and also being with on the RNA drops, just being that in that state of knowingness and being okay with whatever comes your way, with whatever you're experiencing.
Yeah, did you,
know?
You say
so that athleticism doesn't just define who I am? It's what I enjoy being as I'm journeying through this life.
Right. Did you
as
say
I,
that
sure.
Lorraine? Hey, Lynn. Did you say Lorraine said that?
Most people
regard yourself as being already there. Did I hear you say that?
Yeah. She says, think of yourself, not think of yourself, but see yourself already there.
Right.
Put yourself in that, you're there. You're at the Olympics. You are one of the top three going.
Now, here's what I add to that. That is still within the visual thinking, New Age technique. She should learn how to tell people how to say they are there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. That's good,
imagine.
Bob. That's good, Bob.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Bob hits another home run.
Yep.
Well, you know, I think she did. Well, maybe not. I'd have to reflect on that and talk with her about that.
Yeah. Tell her.
I will.
Now, the great Gazoo comes back in and says, Bob, who makes the block rocker? Well, humans make everything. Hmm. So we do. You make it, the great Gazoo. You made the block rocker. So, I want to tell you people something. You know, on Tuesday, we had the great momentous announcement, which is kind of a completion, announcing how RNA drops clears away global warming. Well, was it last night, Carolyn? I think it was Tuesday night or Wednesday. It was yesterday or 36 hours ago. I'm listening to the next thing, November 8th, 2009, session like 196 or something. And there it is, the words that I've been looking for 3 years, since I heard them. And the words are, I've told the story 100,000 times, that I didn't really know what was going on until Ion told me, and I always claimed it was said around August 2009 in my memory. He said, Bob, listen up. First there was Templardom. Then there was Christendom. Now there's going to be Iondom. And I always said, I thought I said, well, I'm not interested in starting a religion. He's Bob, this is going to be far from a religion. So, Brian, you've heard me say that many times, that story, right?
Many times, Bob.
Well, you are going to hear, the night of the great completion of the global warming, I'm listening to November 8th, 9th, whatever it was, and I hear it. I found it.
Bob just blew everything out.
Okay, Michael, what happened is we lost communication with the chat room, so... I'm going to cue some music or something for a minute while we reconnect. I'm sure they're happily carrying on, probably don't even know they're lost.
Yeah, I think Bob just blew it out with his joy.
I think so, yeah. Ended on the high note.
Okay, we apologize for the... We didn't know that the music got played, because it's a weird hookup Bill's got here. I mean, people are hearing us talk, but the music, that's why Bill tells me to switch over.
So people missed your big announcement.
Because I was saying it during the music.
Yep.
I'll do it when we reintroduce it. Okay, Lynn, give us one more anecdote.
Oh, dear. Well, you know, another anecdote. I guess, you know, as I sit here, I'm actually kind of doing a little business, too, on the side. But I'm listening to you intently. And you know how I get charged in the past by people's energies and, like, certain things would come up. I look at it so differently now, and it's amazing.
I got something for you, Lynn. Talk about me. Talk about what I was like.
Oh, God.
Talk about me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's a crowd pleaser.
Just do it for the great kazoo. What? Go ahead, Lynn.
He is absolutely like a kid. I loved it. I could have been up there all night with you. It was amazing. Just the his face. It doesn't have a wrinkle on it. Maybe one or two. Maybe.
You said I was like being like a kid. You were being with a kid. I'm a kid.
I touched his hair too. He's got really soft hair, and it's getting well. It didn't look that gray to me, but it's coming back, I guess. From what Bob says.
Lynn, you met Carolyn, right?
Yeah, we were all together last night.
So what did Carolyn look like? Because Bob talks about Carolyn being...
Well, she's radiant. She doesn't have to because she's already there. She's already radiant. She's, like, amazing. Being seen in her eyes.
Okay, yeah. So what you're saying is Bob's catching up to Carolyn. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, Carolyn doesn't have to draw attention to herself. I still have to.
I wish everyone could have seen it, though. There's the people coming over to the table, and then when we left there, there's a whole section of people sitting along kind of like a bar style. And they were just all looking at it, and they didn't even hear us talking. I think they could just feel the energy.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard Bob talk about this same situation, like when Sue Bone was over and they was in the restaurant.
Yeah.
And there's a country song about this. You know, that country song about, boy, you're having way too much fun. The guy actually gets arrested by the cops for having too much fun.
Yeah. That's right.
Right.
Several Ionettes or new Ionettes have told me about how they first started to hear a radio show, and they would say, you guys are just having too much fun.
And that's what that's what we're here for. That's what's required to have fun.
Yeah. You got to be really healthy and wired up and have 144,000 DNA strands to have fun.
Absolutely.
That's the best fun.
Right.
So how do I get 144?
What?
I'll report back to you guys after I get Bob on the Navy SEAL suspension trainer.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Okay, what did you say, Catherine? Quick, we got to go, but what? No, it's too bad.
Okay. Well, then how do I get... Bye.
Bye. We'll be back. You guys will keep talking. You guys will keep talking.
There's only now, but that now includes all.